friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome along to the Racing Post Royal Ascot Postcast. We're looking into day five. It's me, Bruce Millington, along with my Racing Post colleagues, Paul Keeley and David Jennings. And as always this week, we've got Paul Binfield from Paddy Power. And first of all, Bin, as a quick word, Paddy Power are still trading, but it was mighty close at one point on Thursday, wasn't it? That was Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a brilliant day. It was just so... we got away with it. It was so much fun being here. When Turgenev looked like winning the Britannia, it was disastrous. We were dusting down the TVs in the office, Bruce. We thought we might have to sell them at one stage.
Yeah. Honestly, he said he was going to come out with that, and he actually did come out with it. But seriously, I mean, they called that final furlong the biggest swing in betting history. That's not exaggerating it, is it?
I don't think it is. Even without Turgenev winning, if Frankie's Mountain the last yesterday had won, it was going to be the third worst day in our trading history. So if Turgenev had won as well, then it was calamitous for the bookies, and would have been a huge, huge payout.
And I suppose as well, the whole point with the fifth race is if he's held on there, everyone's cashing out for absolute zillions, aren't they?
Yeah, people would be doing that, and you know, and what price would Frankie have gone off in the last? You know, Turgenev was an extraordinary short price, but I think everyone who was here at Ascot, we were part of history. I said it was an amazing day, you know, like Turgenev went clear. It's like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen now? But you know, he got beaten there, but Frankie's riding out of his skin, and it was just a marvellous day.
And he got beat by the one Rafe Beckett horse I haven't backed in about the last 6 months. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, on to Saturday's card. Six races starting at 2:30 with the Chesham and Aidan O'Brien. And Ryan Moore got the strong favourite here in Lope y Fernandez, Binners.
Indeed, Bruce. Yeah, that one's even money. 7-2 Pinatubu, 9 Heaven for End, 12 to, and it's 12-1 Bar.
Kills, you having a good week?
No, I'm having a shocker, actually. I managed to win a tiny bit on Thursday, but I drew a complete blank Tuesday, Wednesday. Didn't even have a sniff, not a place, nothing. So it's been a really bad start. Looking forward to it getting better.
Okay, so who's going to get you off to... Who's going to lead the Saturday recovery?
Well, I'm not the sort of person to go smashing in on even money chances, especially when they're once-raised two-year-olds. If you hear all the gossip about it, I'm sure Dave will fill us in a minute, but he's supposed to be a superstar, this Lope Fernandez. But I backed two against him. Highland Chief, trained by Paul Cole. He won the race with Berkshire in 2013, had a 25-1 third in the race last year. He's by Glen Eagles. There's loads of stamina on the damp side, and, you know, he just shouldn't have been winning at 5 furlong in his debut, and he did. He picked up really, really well. He's coming straight here afterwards, up 2 furlongs. That'll suit him down to the ground. And I think he's probably quite a decent horse. The other one's Mohican Heights, was trained by Fozzie Stack, got sold for 520 grand on Monday, moved to David Simcock, who's literally just put him in a box and brought him here, and will take all the plaudits if he wins. But he's another one. He won his maiden really well. Those two maidens have worked out better than the one that Lope Fernandez won. On Racing Post ratings, they're both right on the heels of him, and on top speed, they're well ahead of him. So I'll give those two a chance.
You going to take on the jolly DJ?
No, just a few things that I do know about Lope Fernandez. I interviewed Dominic O'Brien in a feature in the pre-Royal Ascot build-up, and he was the one horse... Dominic is a very relaxed character. He doesn't get too excited really about anything, very laid back. And when I mentioned the horse who had actually just won the previous night at the Curragh, I said, what about the juvenile that won last night? And he goes, which? Oh, the Lope de Vega. Oh God, he's gorgeous. And it was completely out of character the way he started talking about the horse. So I'd say he thinks the world of him. The vibes, you obviously hear all these whispers, you don't know what to believe. But I get the impression they hold this horse in a completely different league to Arizona, who won the Coventry. So that'll tell you just how highly regarded he is. They think he's the next big thing. Obviously, he's only had one run. There's so many unexposed horses in the lineup. But if he's even half as good as what they're saying, he's going to win this. And I wouldn't put anybody off backing him for the Classics next year, because I think he could be that good. Obviously, he's a short price. People want bigger prices on the postcast. So the one I thought was a big price each way was Sun Power, who only won a Wolverhampton maiden, but it was a good maiden, and he was still green. And I just like the way he quickened just about 100 yards from the line. I think he's about 20-1, so I could see him running well for Richard Hannon and Sylvester D'Souza. But all the right dogs are barking about Lope Fernandez.
Binners, have you seen much money in the build-up to this that hints that they really do think this thing is the business?
Actually, Bruce, I was just the prices I read out from my notes earlier on. Lope Y Fernandez is drifting slightly, 11 to 10 now, and Pinatubo slightly shorter at 100 to 30. Pinatubo would be my selection. I saw him in the paddock at Epsom. He's a lovely, lovely strong colt, and I think that his win in the Woodcote is, well, I think the form's better than the Jolly, and the prices, I'm going for Pinatubo.
It's lucky Gok Wang doesn't do that TV gig in him. He'd have a lot to say about that combo, wouldn't he? I mean, did you mean to match that shirt and that waistcoat?
Well, I'm staying on my own in Reading. I've got no female help with it, so I actually thought it looked quite good. But
you got eyes.
Yeah, I have. As you know, Bruce, I know far, far more about horse racing than fashion. And I think that's showing itself here.
I think the waistcoat's nice, just not sure about the shirt. The 305 is the Jersey Stakes.
Yep.
So you haven't got a jersey on as well. God knows what colour that would be. Space Blues is fab.
No jersey today, Bruce. The weather's beautiful. 11 to 4 Space Blues, 5 So Perfect, 6 Happy Power and Urban Icon, 8 Angels Hideaway, and it's 10 to 1 the rest.
DJ kicks off.
Yeah, usually it's me and the waistcoat you're slagging, so I'm delighted Binner's or his rig out. I hate tipping favourites at Royal Ascot. Hate it. So I tried my best to take on Space Blues, but I watched the Epsom performance again, and he was so good and so professional and was value for so much more than the winning margin. Urban Icon is a good horse, and I thought he battered him. I think he actually might turn into be a sprinter. Paul agrees, actually, that he might be 6 furlongs, might be his trip. But I think he's enough natural ability to get over the line here. I think he's very good. He probably, on form, should be a little bit bigger. But I just went through the whole race, and every time I just kept coming back to him, because I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I think his career best will come in this race, and I think he'll win.
Will you be taking on the Fav here, Binners?
I will, actually, yeah, Bruce. Bye-bye Hong Kong for me. Wasn't beaten that far in the Diomed. He tried to make it from a long way out that day, from over 6 furlongs out, and I think back to the 7 furlongs will suit him well.
And Keels?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he'd win the race for a while, but I was just disappointed by the price. When you see 18 runners fielded against him, it just sort of puts me off. I mean, you know, my one concern of him would be that it's a very stiff 7, they're going to go hard, and whether he's going to have it right at the death, I don't know. I'm going to take him on because that's the way I play. The one I half like is Momkin, trained by Roger Charlton. He's got first time blinkers. Now, he was second in the Craven and he got himself in a bit of trouble. Probably should have won. It was very close with him and Scardew, who obviously went on, finished third in the Guineas. He was down the field in the Guineas, but again ran into loads and loads of trouble. He had two, you know, unfamiliar jockeys with him on them. He's now got Andrea Zaini, who's won on him. Hopefully blinkers will, you know, keep him focused. Ground drying out is a real, real good thing for him, not so much for Happy Power.
Okay, we move on to the Hardwick, where we are delighted to see last year's Derby winner Massar return to action, and he heads the Paddy Power Market, Binners, does he not?
He does indeed, Bruce. 11-4 favourite. 4-1 Defoe for Roger Varian, 9-2 Mirage Dancer in Southern France, 6 Lartidar, and it's 12-1 the rest.
And we're sticking with you for the first selection, Paul.
Well, I'm going to go to take on Massar, obviously a Derby winner, but he was disappointing on his seasonal debut last season, so after quite a bit of time off, I'll take him on for that reason. Mirage Dancer, Sir Michael Stout, I'll go with that one. He's been kept in training as a 5-year-old. I think there's a reason for that. Try and get a Group 2, Group 1 win with him. And Sir Michael Stout is the Hardwick master. He's won the race 11 times, including last year with Prince of Wales hero Crystal Ocean.
Keels, who do you like?
I mean, my two against the field would be Mirage Dancer and Defoe, but I mean, I quite like Defoe. He looked like a proper Group 1 horse when he won at Epsom. It didn't go all that well for him at the start then, but he came through, powered home. If they get a decent enough pace and this turns into a test, I think he's probably the one to beat. We don't know what state Massar is going to return in, but I mean, the fact they've waited a whole year and they're still bringing him back, having won a Derby, could easily have gone to stud. It's got to be interesting. It's actually a fascinating Hardwick.
And DJ, I owe you belated thanks for tipping up Defoe last time. You were very sweet on him and he won at a massive price. Well played. You're going to keep the faith?
Yeah, I'm still clinging on to it. That's my claim to fame for the last couple of weeks and it's been a while ago. I think he'll win, and this is not just because I backed him when he won the Coronation Cup. As Keel's alluded to there, things didn't go great in the Coronation Cup. He kind of missed a break. He was further back than he wanted to be. The gap didn't open at the right time early in the home straight and he had to sit and suffer for a few minutes. Andrea did. And I thought he was well on top of the line. And to be honest, I thought that was just as good a race as this is. I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary in here. Massar will need to put up a big performance on his first start for so long to win this race, and the ground is the key here. I thought he just got away with it, Epsom. It's going to be slightly slower here, I think. I know it's going to be glorious sunshine, but still there was a lot of rain earlier on in the week. I think the slower the ground, the better chance Defoe has, and I just think he's improved past all these. I thought that was a hell of a performance at Epsom, and I think he'll win.
Let's look at the Diamond Jubilee next.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. The 420 Ascot is the Diamond Jubilee Stakes, and Blue Point, having won the King's Stand so impressively on Tuesday, reappears, which is really exciting news. He's Fav Binners.
He is. Can he do it again, Bruce? 2-1 favourite. 9-2 Invincible Army for James Tate. 8 City Light. A few horses on 12s. Bound for Nowhere, Le Bravido, San Zamali and the Tin Man. And it's 16-1 bar.
So you've been looking at this race for months, thinking Inn of Court's going to win. That's come out. Blue Point's in. You've had to totally reevaluate.
Yeah, absolutely sickening. I've been backing Inn of Court for the last couple of months, but whether there's a problem or not, and they just want to run Blue Point in a race, don't blame him for running Blue Point in a race. He's got a remarkable record at Ascot. He's won 4 of his 5 starts. His only defeat was in the Commonwealth Cup to Caravaggio and Harry Angel. He's also beaten Harry Angel over 6 furlong here. Won a Group 3 over 6 furlong as well. His form in Dubai tells you he's every bit as good over 6 as he is 5. And let's face it, he's the best horse in the race by some way. By some way. I mean, he should, you know, you could argue he should be shorter.
Well, I thought that, and I just wondered, DJ, whether the fact that he's kind of parachuted in late means that the bookies haven't really been quite sure where to put him. But, I mean, you know, if he's anywhere near like he was the other day, he just wins, doesn't he?
Yeah, and put it this way, if he didn't run the other day and this was always the target, he'd probably be shorter. Do you know what I mean? But the fact that he's won shows that he's obviously come out of Dubai well. Yeah, look, he's by far the most likely winner. When you hear Paul Keighley saying that about a horse that short, that speaks volumes. Like, you know, Keel's to try to take one on. The one that I thought was too big of a price, just because this is his cup final, is the Tin Man. He won the race 2 years ago. I don't think he's regressed as much as the market suggests. He was very unlucky in the race last year. He was only beaten just over a length by Merchant Navy. He got shuffled back, the gap closed, he had to swing right around them, and he flew home. I just think this is his time of year, this is his track, and there will be enough cut in the ground. I thought the return at Windsor was fine. They were all in a big lump and he just plugged on down the middle of the track. It was basically a prep for this. And at a double figure price, I'd be surprised if he didn't finish in the first three, but obviously Blue Point is the starting point for every punter.
Do you like Blue Point, Binners, or are you going to take him on?
No, I agree with Paul about him being the best horse in the race. It's just, I am going to take him on purely because he's had a run already this week. We none of us really know what that's going to take out of him. I'm going to go for a double figure price one, San Zamar. Another one with really, really good course form. Second in the Commonwealth Cup last year. He's a course and distance winner, winning that champion sprint. When he got beaten last time, he was slowly away. The ground was soft enough at Hamilton, and I think that one will improve dramatically for the run.
Okay, next up, it's the Wokingham. Takes place at 5 o'clock, and as always, wide open, big puzzle. Spin us through the market leaders, Paul.
Yeah, great puzzle to Wokingham. 8-1 Cape Byron and Danzino, joint favourites, can't separate them. 10 Foxtrot Lady, 12 Gunmetal, and then there's a host of horses on 14-1.
Right, nice easy one for David Jennings to solve.
Yeah, I've got to start off with a horse that has been, it's got a remarkable profile, Southern Horse from the Jim Bulger stable. I've got 5 texts about this horse in the last couple of days saying this is much better than its handicap mark. Everybody's talking about it back home. It's trained by our old buddy Jim Bulger, right? It's been running in Argentina on the all-weather, and it's entered in the July Cup. It was second in a group one in Argentina, and it's just a bizarre piece of placing by Jim. Obviously, it's been working very well in Coolcullen, and I would say this would go off a lot shorter price than it is at the minute, because there's very shrewd judges that are being told about this horse. So it'll be interesting to see how Southern Horse gets on. I've liked Cenotaph for this race for quite a while. Obviously, it's going to be Jeremy Nasita's last runner. It's not an emotional thing at all. I don't know the man. I just think he's the type that will suit the race. He used to be trained by Aidan O'Brien in Ireland. I always thought there was a big sprint in him. His all-weather mark is, I think, £8 higher than his turf mark. And Ryan Moore rides, and I think the way the race will be suited is run. He goes well fresh, and I still think he could be maybe £5 or £6 ahead of his mark, but you might need to be a little bit more. But at 20-1, I think Cenotaph has got a big chance.
Never had the pleasure of being told to F off by Jeremy Nasita, no?
No, and it's funny, we were doing the previews there, and Stuart Riley was sitting beside me, and I'm doing the preview of the Mokingham, and I said, I have to ring Jeremy Nasita now, and he was like, oh, his reaction was like when I told people I was staying in Slough.
Yeah, it's like, you're staying in Slough. That's good. Keep the expenses down, DJ, company man. Binners, who do you like for the Wokingham?
I'm going to go with David Jennings, Cenotaph, yeah. I know his form isn't as good on turf as it is on the all-weather. He hasn't won on turf, but Ryan Moore on board, Jeremy Nasita, I think this horse will send him out with a bang. It looks an absolute plot to me, Bruce.
Okay, and Keels.
We love plots in a 30-run of Wokingham, don't we? You know, the one thing about races like the Wokingham is you need a horse that travels well and stays. And Kate Byron's never run over 6 furlongs, but he looks like a horse that will absolutely relish it. He won the Victoria Cup here last time. He's also won on the course before. And I just love the way he travels, and I don't know whether he's on the right side or not. There's enough pace around on both sides. I mean, it's all been stand side. He's drawn 10. Obviously, Outdo won it from stall one last 2 years ago when the early week everything was happening on the stand side. So, you know, I don't think we can ever tell, especially as it's going to be drying out. It would be good ground at worst, I'd imagine, by Saturday. So I'm going to give him a shot. Funny enough, he won the Victoria Cup. The last horse to win the Victoria Cup. Wokingham double was Ifraz, trained by Michael Jarvis when Roger Varian was assistant trainer. I think he's the absolute right type of race. He's fab. I'm going to back a rag. I'm probably going to back 3 rags, but one of them will be Intersab for David O'Mara. He's an 8-year-old, same age as Outdo was when he won it 2 years ago. And like him, he's dropped down the ratings. Yet in January, on his first start in Dubai, he ran every bit as well as he ever has done, finishing a close third in a photo. To a race base rating of 113. He's dropped all the way down to a mark of 103. He hasn't run that well in this race for the past 2 seasons, but he has run this course well before, and he's drawn 22, and he's booked Jamie Spencer, who is the ultimate straight track specialist.
Never know you tip so many jollies.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know. I was chasing a winner, wasn't I?
Space
desperately
blues,
need one.
Blue point.
Stick to what you do best. Right then, this wonderful week culminates at 5:35 with the Queen Alexandra, 2 miles and 6 furlongs. And if you are desperate for a winner, let's see what the lads can conjure up. But first of all, Binners, what's the latest betting?
Well, can Max Dynamite send punters home with a bang? 5-2 favourite, Bruce. 5-1 Corelli. Cleonti's come into 5. That one was 6-1 earlier this morning. 6-1 Palisator and Lucky Deal. And it's 13-2 the rest.
And Binners, you can go first.
Well, I'm going to go for a horse called You Never Call. It's appropriate for me because there's been plenty of women over the years who have done that. 16-1 into 13-2. Unraced on the flat, it's a bit of a guess, but
Kim Bailey,
yeah, fine hurdler. The money is speaking volumes, and You Never Call for me.
Bruce, just to let you know, when you do come to Paul Keighley, if he does tip, You'll Never Call. I was speaking to him beforehand, and he said he didn't fancy anything at all in the race, so he'll just be copying Paul Binfield's tip if he does.
I just tip the favourite, won't you, Kills?
You what? Cheeky bastard. Yeah, just the better the day. I mean, the drier it gets, the more confident I'd be in You Never Call. It's rated 157 over hurdles, needs good ground and a right-handed track. I was actually tipping it up last week without even knowing it had been entered, because it's just like an obvious place for this horse to go. He's got a really big engine. If he translates his full jumps ability to this track, he's one of the best horses in the race. You know, our handicapper always says knock £50 off. That would put him on 107. That would make him the second best horse in the race. Hopefully he can. You never know if he does. He's an 8-year-old. But he's by Yates, who won 4 Gold Cups. So he's going to have no problem whatsoever with the trip. Hopefully he'll go out in front. And I think it'll take a good one to pass him.
Excellent. Three votes for that one, or are you going to go against the lads?
Yeah, it's funny, I was only taking the piss there. I spoke to Paul before we came on air, and I said, what do you fancy tomorrow? I just can't wait for the last race. You never call. And then Binner's tipped it, and his eyes just rolled up to heaven. He's rated 150.
Tips to Dave.
Yes, exactly. Obviously.
Yeah. I was going to lie there. You'll never call his rated 157 over hurdles. Max Dynamite is now down to 138 over hurdles, and Max Dynamite is favourite. But I was doing the preview for the Gold Cup the other day, and I rang Willie about Thomas Hobson, and he goes, look, to be honest, Thomas Hobson should be running the Queen Alexander, he says, but we've got Max Dynamite for that, which suggests to me that Max Dynamite was ahead of the pecking order of Thomas Hobson, even though Thomas Hobson ran in the Gold Cup. Look, I think Max Dynamite is probably the most likely winner. These type of races suits him. He's getting on a bit in years, but I think there could be one last blowout in him, and I think this could be it. I think the ground and everything is in his favour. He's proven that he handles the track. I think he goes quite well fresh as well, and to me he's the most likely winner, but he's no value whatsoever, and I might just roll in behind Keels because it's a long time since I've seen him so sweet on a horse.
Have you ever tried standing with your arm out like that angle for ages while David Jennings witters on? It's not easy at all. Right then, thank you very much indeed, chaps. We'll get the best bets for day five. Paul Binfield.
I'm going to go You Never Call.
Paul Keeley?
You are taking it piss now, aren't you? Yeah, You Never Call, 535, not changing.
And David Jennings.
Space Blues, 305.
Lovely stuff. Maddie is back on Monday with another racing podcast, and we will be back next Friday to look ahead to next weekend, where the action includes the Northumberland Plate.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.